to see all of y'all here this morning. You may have noticed as you were sitting in your pews or as you were walking forward that we have something different up here on the altar table this morning. Look like bowls of water with little glass beads in them. What is that about? Well, this morning we just heard the story of Jesus' baptism. And we're going to spend some time in worship together thinking about baptism. Now, not everybody who's here today has been baptized yet. Maybe some of you were baptized when you were babies. Maybe some of you haven't been baptized yet. But that doesn't really matter. What matters is what the baptism means, because it's true for all of us. When Jesus came up out of the water after he was baptized, the voice of God spoke and said, "This is my child. I love him." And that is exactly what God says about each and every one of us. God says, "You are my child, and I love you." And so when we, at the end of the service, toward the end of the service, we're all going to have a chance to come forward. It doesn't matter if you've been baptized yet or not. We want you to come forward. And you'll be able to reach into the bowl and get one of these glass beads for your very own. And you can take it with you. I have mine in my robe pocket, and I feel it all the time. And it's a reminder to me that God loves me no matter what. Nothing will ever change that, ever, ever, ever. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for baptism. Because it reminds us every time we see someone baptized, every time we talk about baptism, it reminds us how much you love us. Help us to remember that nothing will ever change your love for us. Thank you so much. We love you too, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much, and I hope you'll come back when we all do to get our beads from the water. Way back in the 1950s, there was a detective show on television called Dragnet. That was a little bit before my time, but I did see some reruns in my childhood, enough to know that the main character's name was Joe Friday. Isn't that a perfect name for a detective? And he had a catchphrase. Anybody remember his catchphrase? "Just the facts, ma'am." Just the facts. It was the 60s, apparently. Still a little before my time. Just the facts. He would go to a crime scene and investigate, you know, what was happening, and someone would start talking, talk, and he would just cut them off. Just the facts. That's all I want. Sometimes I think about Joe Friday when I'm reading the Gospel of Mark. There's something about the way Mark tells the story of Jesus that sounds a little bit like Joe Friday. Just the facts. Mark was probably the first gospel written. It is the shortest, and it is as if he wants to get as much down on paper as he can. Just enough for us to know that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, that's how his gospel begins. Verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Boom, he says it all in one verse. And then the curtains open on the gospel. And the very first thing we see is Jesus about to be baptized. Now, we've just come through this season of Christmas where we have looked at Luke's gospel and heard the birth story of Jesus in Luke's gospel. We've read Matthew's story of Jesus' birth and the wise ones who came to visit Jesus then, but not Mark. Mark doesn't tell that whole story. Mark wants us to think that the story of Jesus begins with baptism. The story begins with baptism. Now, when Mark tells a story, because he is a man of few words, because he has carefully chosen what to tell us, just the facts, just what he thinks is most important, I want to lean in a little more closely and pay attention to every word that Mark chooses and consider how it is that he tells us the story. And it's when I was leaning in and reading this story of Jesus' baptism carefully that a word jumped out at me. It's a word that only Mark uses in the telling of this story, and that's why I think it's important to Mark that we pay attention. It happens in that moment when Jesus is coming up out of the waters of baptism. All the Gospels tell this story in one way or another. Jesus is coming up out of the waters, and the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. In you I am well pleased." Now, when I think of the heavens opening, when I imagine the scene in my head, I think of the clouds gently parting, you know, and the Holy Spirit drifting down like a dove, but not according to Mark. According to the way Mark tells the story, Jesus comes up out of the water and the heavens are torn open. It is a very vivid, almost violent word, torn, schizomenous, as if a fabric, piece of fabric would be torn, or we tear into a package to get to the middle of it. That makes me imagine that God, the loving parent in this scene, is tearing through the heavens to get to Jesus and to say to him, "I love you. You are my beloved child, and I am so pleased with you." And God is so anxious to speak that word of love to Jesus that God tears open the heavens to get to him. I wonder if we realize that that very same thing happens in every baptism. If you have been baptized, in that moment when you were baptized, the community of faith was recognizing the fact that God tears through the heavens to come to you and say, "I love you. You are my beloved child. In you, I am well pleased." Can you believe that that is true for you? I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to believe that. I mean, it's easy to think that God would speak that word to Jesus. Jesus is the perfect Son of God. He is without sin. Of course God loves him and is well pleased with Jesus. But I will remind you, according to the way Mark tells the story, Jesus hasn't done anything yet. This point in Mark's gospel, Jesus hasn't even spoken a word. He hasn't called his first disciples. He hasn't taught anyone. He hasn't healed anyone. It is before he does any of that that God pronounces him beloved and delightful. Maybe that's a reminder to us too, that it's not about what we do or what we have achieved or what we haven't done. This is where the story begins. For Jesus and for us, with God telling us that we are beloved. Maybe someone will say, I don't know. I can see God saying it to Jesus. I can even see God saying it to a little baby. At the 8:45 service, we baptized little Millie Kate Hollett. She was the one who played baby Jesus on Christmas Eve. I mean, did you see how perfect she was? Just this cherub little face. Of course she is beloved of God. She is innocent and sweet, and I guess we could ask the Hollets about that, but it's easy to imagine that God would pronounce a baby beloved and delightful. But I don't know about me. I mean, I know what I've done. I know the way I think about things. I know the patterns of behavior that I fall into again and again and can't seem to get myself out of. And so often I walk around in my life imagining a God who is just waiting for me to get it together before that God will really love me. A God who looks upon me with a little bit of judgment and maybe even disappointment. Is that the image of God that you carry around? Then, my brothers and sisters, come with me to the waters of baptism. Let us each be reminded that our God looks upon us as beloved and precious children, and that you and I are pleasing to God, not because of what we've done or haven't done, but because we are God's precious children, and nothing will ever change that. There's one other place in the Gospel of Mark that the writer uses that word schizomenus, tear. It's at the end of the story, when Jesus gives up his spirit on the cross, the curtain in the temple is torn in two, and there is now no longer anything to separate us from the love of God. God's been trying to tell us that from the very beginning. Jesus said, God so loved the world that God sent the only Son. The Apostle Paul said, there is nothing that will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything else in all creation will ever separate you and me from God's love. And that's where the story starts. We come here each year to touch the waters of baptism and remember that we are beloved. We come here every Sunday and hear that good news again and again, I hope. And then we go out into the world because that's our mission. To tell everybody else that they are beloved children of God, that whoever you are, no matter what you've done, God is tearing open the heavens to tell you